music radio free. You see blue skies and think of sea. How are you doing? And later on, switch on TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies. Now how are we doing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Educate, they fabricate. And we sit back till it's too late.
The Radio Avenger. Rick Adams is on.
Folks, we're back. Hour number two. If you're just tuning in, Rick Adams here, and we are doing our thing today. A different program, which I felt led to do. It just gelled together, talking about these things in an oblique way here from time to time, mentioning them on the program. And, you know, it just came to me. I think the Lord had me and Joe chime in together and say it's time maybe to do a program having to do with who's who in the scriptures and in the world today, because of the simple fact that the Bible is a book that basically can be summed up in a very brief and cogent way. And that is, it is a war. The Bible represents a war going on between God and Satan. And it's very important to understand that God has children on the earth, and that Satan, this is what most of the preachers will not admit, Satan has children on the earth too, begotten children, you know, begotten of God and begotten of the devil. And this is why there is a war going on. Call it a culture war. Call it a religious war. Call it a war of attrition, communism, killing over 166 million souls and enslaving over a billion and so forth. The blood of Esau, Edom, and Cain upon the heads of the innocents of the world. Well, it's a war going on between those two forces. So what Joe and I are trying to do today is get to some basics of scripture. Obviously, we can't cover it in one program, but we're trying to get you, others, to do your own prodding and research and go into, if you're online or if you're not, go into the word, go into the script, the original meaning and the concordances and the Masoretic languages and in the Septuagint, in the Greek, to understand the Hebrew and the Greek and what these words mean. Right, Joe? And where do you begin? You begin at the beginning in Genesis. If you don't understand Revelation, it's because you don't understand Genesis. Doesn't make sense. Daniel doesn't make sense. Ezekiel doesn't make sense. Isaiah doesn't make sense. Amos today, we read, none of them make sense. So what do? They come up with a new theology to make it fit, you see? This is why these theological cemeteries are just that, mausoleums. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Joe.
Well, let's go right to the beginning and open up the feed sack, Rick. And we open it up by finding out what the story is in chapter 4 of Genesis. I'm going to read this through fairly quick, but folks, okay. I want you to know that this is my interpretation after many years of study. I've come to this conclusion thus far. I don't know everything there is to know about it, but I'll tell you, I'm very comfortable with it. And when I found this out, the scriptures opened up like a flower. It just was so smooth. All right, it begins. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. And Adam knew his wife, Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain. Now, this is the eighth day creation. This is not the sixth day creation. I'll go into that later. And said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again. Now I'm going to go into the Hebrew with this word again. The word is 3254 in your Strong's Concordance, and it means to continue to do. So if she got a man from the Lord, if she had a baby, okay, the word is yasab in the Hebrew.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it means to continue in labor. So she not only had one child, she had two. Again, she bare again, bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass. So they were twins. They were fraternal twins by separate fathers. And you know which fathers I'm referring to. Mm-hmm. And in process of time, it came to pass. Now, this is with many years of study in all the scriptures. I mean, you go to certain words in the New Testament, it means seed. It means male sperma. So I'm going to be plain about it. I'm going to spell it right out. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. So he was the tiller of the soil. And Abel, he also brought the first thing of the flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Did you say something, Rick?
Yeah, sheep herder. Yeah, sheep herder.
Sheep herder. Five. And unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou dost not well, then lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up and against Abel his brother and slew him. Now this was the first murder for religious reasons amongst the eighth-day creation. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is thy brother Abel? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? What a joke. He's lying.
What an answer.
Now,
huh?
Lying to men is one thing. That's Mickey Mouse. But lying to God, now that's a whole different kettle of fish.
Answering a question with a question. Huh? How devious can you
answer,
get?
Right. Yep. And he said, what hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. Now, this is one of the curses upon the Kenite. The Kenite, the sons of Cain, would not be able to till the ground. In other words, the earth would not produce for them. They always had to hire somebody to work the soil, because it would not give it strength, it would not produce.
Well, yes.
They were cursed from that. So a fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth. And Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I be hid. And I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth, and it shall come to pass that every one that findeth me shall slay me. Now he's referring here to him and his genealogy, because he's going to give his genealogy next.
Right.
And the Lord said unto him, therefore whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord saith, set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him. So the father now is taking Cain and making him, he's protecting him. He's put a mark of protection upon Cain so that he can preserve him and all his seed line all the way to the end of the book.
That's right.
Even Jesus didn't interrupt them because they had to fulfill the book of Revelation.
Right.
And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod. So this land of Nod, and we read it in the Strong's Concordance on the east of Eden. This is an oriental tribe that Cain married into and had offspring from. So there was an Oriental aspect to Cain's genealogy from there on. Okay. And Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Enoch, and builded a city, and called the name of the city the name of his son, Enoch. So here we see names of all his sons, and they're very similar to Adam's sons in Genesis chapter 5. Very, very similar, but not exactly the same in some cases.
No.
But you see the workings of Cain here and his children, a city builder. They were builders of cities. They were musicians. You see that they always brought out the fact. One of the sons, if Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech, one of the sons of Cain would be 70 and sevenfold. Revenge for a murder of one of his sons would be 70 and sevenfold. And Adam knew his wife again and bare a son and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew.
Right.
So now you're starting to see the genealogy of Adam from Seth. All right? Now that's separate from Cain's genealogy.
Totally. Totally separate.
So this is something that I wanted to touch on. So let's see. Now,
That's a good point, Joe. While you're looking, you know, I can just amplify a little bit. Even in modern times, the progeny of Cain today, in these times in which we live, we can see the names of the efforts, you know, that they have created, you know, the New Deal, the Raw Deal, the Great Society. During that period in the 60s, folks, we had what was known as the Model Cities Program. You probably remember. Some of you old-timers remember that. Model Cities was another one of those Great Society ventures, as they call them. And, of course, it was a disaster. It was like taking the people out of the ghetto, but you couldn't take the ghetto out of the people. As one man said so wisely. So what you did was waste more taxpayers' money, build up these edifices, these new, you know, horizons, so to speak, and a lot of people got pretty wealthy off of it. Yeah, I wonder who those people might be. Anyway, so the Model Cities Program was one of those efforts in population control and population management that seed line would be known for, you see, even to this day, Joe.
Yes, yeah.
Like you said, and, in that nation today, that entity that calls itself Israel, then you have a problem where, you know, you have these Kenites who've stolen the land of the indigenous peoples, occupy the land. They've hired people. They've had to hire outsiders. They've had to bring in many, many lower, as they call them, you know, lesser people, the goy, to come in to do the planting and the harvesting of plants, because the soil, and I know some people don't know this, but the soil will not yield. It will not yield for the Kenites. It will for those others, even the Africans and the Palestinians and so forth, but it will not yield for those who are cursed from that time in the Garden of Eden. And he says they always had to hire somebody.
They might not be a farmer, but they would own a farm and hire hands to run the farm.
Exactly.
So that the soil would produce to them because they were not of the curse.
Right.
Also, if you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, not as Eve was beguiled by the serpent. We want to go there and read a little bit. And First John, First Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 12. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, showing Cain's father.
Right.
And you could also go to Ezekiel 31 to deepen your understanding. Ezekiel 31. Satan as a tree. Let's see. Genesis chapter 4, verse 25, proves that Cain was not of Adam's genealogy. Genesis 6:19. Now, see, I want to make this point, folks, clear. Cain was protected by the Heavenly Father to fulfill a negative part of his plan. In other words, he was going to make them basically the correction rod for his people, that other seed line right. that Jesus Christ would come through. He was going to make him the one that accused all the way through, the accuser of God's people. The accuser mm-hmm. of that seed line. Hey, you did this, you did that. Look, he says to the Heavenly Father, he says, look at your people down there. Look what they're doing. Look at them. Main thing, folks, never curse the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. Bless him in every single way, and don't worry what they accuse you with. Okay?
Right. Mm-hmm.
There's only one unforgivable sin. And it can only be committed at the very end of this age. This sin is forgiven through Jesus Christ. Always remember that. I don't care what the sin is. And don't let nobody put you on the guilt trip. This is between you and your Heavenly Father. Don't let nobody put you on the guilt trip. Have that relationship with him. Okay. 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 55. Scribes employed by Judah, but of the race of the Kenites. Hebrew number 70:17 we covered. A member of the tribe of Cain or Cajun. Jehonadab, Jeremiah 35:6. This was the Abraham of the Kenites. The Abraham of the Kenites. Abraham means father of many nations. So, Kenites have a father of many nations. Think about it. Sons of Cain. It was here in verse 11 they began to call themselves Jews as residents of Jerusalem and scribes of Judah. Compare mm-hmm. verse 7 with Genesis 4:12. The ground will not yield for them. Jehonadab, 2 Kings 10:15. Jehonadab plays the role of good buddy to Jehu, king of Israel, when the Baalites were being destroyed. Make sure you don't have a good buddy Kenite in your chariot. Jehonadab. Amos chapter 6:14. Yahweh brings affliction on Israel by allowing Hemath, the father of the Kenites, to enter into Israel until the time of the end. That's now. You're coming to the end. They've entered in and they control it.
They control the cash register too, yes.
Be wiser than the serpent and peaceful as the dove.
Mm-hmm.
Pharisees mm-hmm. and the scribes. Matthew 23:33-35. Jesus identifies Pharisees and scribes as Kenites. Ye serpents, ye generation, or offspring of vipers.
Offspring.
He brands mm-hmm. their father as the murderer of Abel, thus sons of Cain. False Jews. John 8:44. Jesus called those who claimed to be Jews of their father the devil and his son Cain, who was the first murderer in the beginning. Khazars. Note title of the Khazar king. Khazar Cajun. Pagan. Or in Hebrew, Cajun, or Cain. People don't want us to learn the Hebrew language, folks. Learn it. Learn it. It'll be a blessing to you.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Boy, it's coming out crystal clear to some of us here, Joe. Thank you. We'll come right back, folks. You got a question? You can call it in to Mike on the board at 800-313-9443. Rick Adams Uncensored.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Thank you for your comments, and also we're broadcasting brand new on this new platform that we have here on RBN for some of us, Virto Communicator, and hopefully it will stay that way, clear and very crisp, and it sounds marvelous from what I understand from a whole bunch of people on our forums, so chat room forums. You know, more and more people are now abandoning Facebook, and that's a good thing, I think, because these are trackers. These are tied into the matrix of this powerful synagogue. So we just we deliberately try to stay away from it. You know, I go on Facebook. I do have a page with only about a handful of people that I have communicated with, but I don't spend any great amount of time at all on it, or Twitter for that matter. But you know what? Here we are on RBN and with our television ministry that is on local Rhode Island public access TV and up on YouTube, and we get out to whoever is meant to hear, to whoever God has called to listen. They'll find us. Isn't that right, Joe?
The Father will put them in front of our forehead, Rick.
Isn't that right, Brother Joe? See?
Yes.
There you go. All right. That's good. Getting some good feedback here, so sure. Continue. Let's go on. We're on a hot roll here now. The scriptures.
All right. Revelation chapter 3:7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he, capital H, that is holy, he that is true, capital T and capital H. He that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth.
Mm-hmm.
The door that he has opened to us today is who the Kenites are. Once you have that door open to you, you are a wealthy, wealthy person, very wealthy. And I'm going to give you some of the things that I've accumulated over the years for the key of David. It's very, very important. And I'm going to give you them. There's about 10 or 11 here. Hold your peace. This is the key of David. Anger is kindled greatly by the Spirit of the Father. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Very important.
Mm-hmm.
Lord our God is king, not man. Not men king or women
there
king.
You go. There you
the
go.
The Lord our God is a king. He's our king. You believe it? If you believe it, he is your king. Get to know him more.
Mm-hmm.
God's
Amen.
Plan. Get to know his plan. What is his plan? To know, next one is the seed line of the Kenites. This is all the key of David. It unlocks the doors of the scriptures.
Yes.
The seed line of David. This unlocks the door to the scriptures. You have to know those both seed lines, what their job is, what their purpose is,
mm-hmm.
and how they're examples to us in the end times. To know, the New Testament teaches, the Old Testament teaches said, Paul said, these things that happened in the Old Testament, these things were in samples or examples of what would befall you right at the end. They're all examples, so that we would have the ability to make right decisions and do the right thing. In protecting his sheep, and this is your job, you have the key of David, and protecting his sheep from the wolves, learn valuable tools, and that is how to slay lions and how to slay bears. Number nine, acrostics of 11 in Isaiah, chapter 11, and read the 11s of that chapter 11. Luke chapter 11, 49 to 52. Matthew chapter 16, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12, consuming fire. Colossians chapter 3, love and forgiveness. Folks, you've had right now many, many years of study by this person as to forming the key of David. Everybody has to form their key different, but this is the basic structure that I've accumulated over the years, and boy, has it been a blessing to me. And I just want to say that knowing who the Kenites are and the sons of David is a blessing. That's the big blessing.
And it really is.
And put God as our king. Never mind a man that you want to make a king over you. We don't want no more kings.
No
more.
Those
days are gone.
And no more six trumps either, or trumpets. All right, we have a break, Joe, and we'll ask you a couple of questions when we return.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
How healthy are your arteries? Deteriorating circulation has a number of early warning signs. High cholesterol, high blood pressure, fingers and or toes often go cold, arms and or legs often go to sleep, sharp diagonal crease in the earlobe, short walks cause cramping or pains in legs, memory is not as good as it used to be, ankles swell late in the day, chest pain after physical exercise or emotional stress. If you experience even one of these symptoms, your circulatory system is crying out for attention. Extendivite is a natural solution to help improve your overall health. Extendivite is not your average heart tonic. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or find us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The New World Order thought police are on the run because Rick Adams is back on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
All right, folks. Joe Church and myself, we're back together here so far, 90 minutes. We've spent really giving you a basic thumbnail look, if you will, study of the book of Genesis, and going back and forth with the other books of the scriptures, including the very words of Jesus himself in the New Covenant and the Old. Now, you know, it's funny because the former head of the Anti-Defamation League, Foxman, was quoted, and he is quoted. You can see it for yourself. He's called for the banning of the New Testament as a book of hate. And now we see so much hate speech activity going on today, fake attacks, fake terror, fake, swastikas and all of that being reported, and come to find out many of them are done by these Kenites for their own purposes. So he's called for the abolition, basically, of our book, of God's book, the New Covenant, as well as the Old. Now, how can somebody who says he's of the Old Covenant be opposed to that very book? Which, of course, they are not, since, as you point out, Joe, they are the negative part of God's plan. For in the Old Covenant, from the book of Genesis onward to Zechariah and the other prophets, they are identified as those who would kill the prophets, kill the apostles, and kill the Lord. So, clearly, clearly they are not those who are in obedience to the Old Testament, as you've shown in First and Second Chronicles as well. They've slept in and they've sneaked into the ministry through the Nethinims and other venues to be able to take over the role of sitting in the seat of Moses. That's what Jesus said. You sit in the seat of Moses, and yet you deny the law. You deny the mercy and the mercy seat. And all of that's very important now, especially with Temple Mount acting up again and these attempts to prevent the Palestinians and others there in Jerusalem from going to Temple Mount because of the fact that Temple Mount is the site that is occupied also by the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And Jordan was supposed to have been in administration of that, though. And yet now we're hearing about these Israeli attempts to block those from gathering at the very gate. The gate of that area there is the gate that we've referred to personally, you and myself, as really being the gate to the mercy seat. Going right back to Genesis and going right back to the Pentateuch. So, these are things that we have to talk about. We don't have time today to go through all of them, but I have a couple of questions for you, from some of our listeners. One of them apparently wants to know, about the speaking in tongues. Apparently, this is what I get from it. What exactly do these pastors mean by speaking in tongues, number one? Do you have an answer for that, Joe?
Well, speaking in tongues, unknown tongues. If I go to Spain and I start speaking English from the pulpit in Spain, they're not going to know what I'm speaking because I'm speaking in an unknown tongue. So I should have an interpreter with me so that they can interpret it and the people will know what I'm saying. Now, if you're referring to the end times speaking in tongues, as mentioned in Second Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, 1 and 2, mm-hmm. and Joel, chapter 1 and 2. Now, if you're talking about those tongues, right? That will be a time
All right.
in which the Father speaks through us, in which every language of the earth, every language of the earth, they'll all have cell phones at that time or TV sets or a community TV set that they can watch this happen. And they will all know what's being said all at the same time. Now, that's the speaking in tongues. With no, you don't even need an interpreter at that time.
Yes.
I hope that answers the question.
Okay, very good. Another question has to do with, I believe I'm trying to see here, a little trouble reading the question, but I believe it refers to the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 29. And the question is, what does that verse mean? Have you studied that verse, Joe? Genesis 1:29.
Yes. Let me read it. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of the tree. In other words, it has its seeds within it, yielding seed. But to you it shall be for meat, for truth. Meat is truth. So there's three levels you can take this on. You know, you can take it on a third level. You can take it on a first level, second level. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made. That includes all those 6 days, the 5 day creations before this, the 6 day man, a 6 day creation, And he said about that six-day creation, I believe that those were all races of the world at that time. They were all different races. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. All the races were very good in his sight. Now, if he wanted one race, he would have made one race. But they were all very good in his sight, for one reason or another. And he made them that way, and he had a reason for it. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So, why the racial prejudice? Why the problem?
Mm-hmm.
It was all good in his sight. Everyone should respect their race, love their race, and understand that God made them for his purpose and his enjoyment.
Right.
That they're beautiful in his sight, and he has a reason for them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
This is your six-day creation. Now, the eighth-day creation, after God had rested on the seventh day, he rested on that seventh day.
Yes.
Just the way he's going to do in the millennium.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Genesis is a reflection of what we're going to go into. In the book of Revelation, there's going to be a seventh-day rest, which is our millennial age of time of teaching, which Satan is locked away in the pit. And even his children will have an opportunity in that seventh-day millennium with their father locked away to make a choice. And always remember, a day is as 1,000 years. A day is as 1,000 years. The millennium will be 1,000 years or maybe a day. I hope that answers the question.
All right. Sounds good to me. We have another question from California, and the question is, what verse says that Paul is a, quote, Jew and a Roman citizen and gives tribute of Benjamin? I believe that's the question. Can you elaborate or interpret that for me when Paul uses those phrases, a Jew and a Roman?
I don't know of any scriptures right offhand refer that. However, it doesn't mean that it's not in there. But I know he was protected by the Romans. I don't even remember the scriptures that I pulled that from. But they had to take care of Paul because, like an American citizen, when we go overseas, the government here has to protect us. They will protect us. You know what I mean? They have these the ability to agencies and everything as American citizens. So Paul was well treated by the Romans when they took him captive. And I know in one of the scriptures it talks about Paul being he says, I am an Israelite. I am a Benjamite. I am a Judahite because he was of the house of Judah, which is Benjamin is one of the two tribes of the house of Judah. And he wasn't lying. He was of all of those. You know, for the,
right.
the deeper student. So,
yeah, there are a number of references to Rome and the Roman citizenship of Paul. Also, when he was saying he was a Jew, he was referring to Judea. He was not referring to what is commonly referred to today as the word Jews. And that's important because he was a Benjamite, as you know. Benjamites. And essentially, you know, that misconception, again, creeps into understanding the word. So, you know, in various scriptures in the New Covenant, when Paul is quoted, he could claim that he was a citizen of Rome, which meant that he was following also the dictates of the Lord when he said, give unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and give unto God the things that belong to God. You see that dichotomy?
Yes. Yes.
So, you know, that's very important. He was a Hebrew. Paul was a Hebrew, but he was also a Roman citizen at the same time. Now, that's not a contradiction at all.
In Acts 22, you know, he talks a little bit about his citizenship as well. In verses, I don't know, it's 22, I think, 23, 22 to 23, around there you will find it. So, yeah. But anyway, that was the question from that individual. And there are other questions that have come up. And one of them apparently has to do with understanding what we began talking about in the beginning, and that was Genesis chapter 3 and the serpent seed. Is this the same, the serpent seed having to do with the seed line of Cain in Genesis 4? And I believe you will say it is.
Yes, the serpent is described as the upright one or the shining one. And, you know, the upright ones or the shining ones today would be the people that attacked Jesus because he was rocking their religious boat. They were the upright ones. And he was rocking their boat.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you are of your father, the devil. So the serpent was none other than Satan himself. And he had the ability to impregnate Eve. Now, this is from years of study in the scriptures. I feel very comfortable with it. I don't know all the facets of it, but I feel very comfortable with it. In passages I've read in passing, I've read the scriptures many times, and I'm very, very comfortable with it and want to say that this is my opinion, but I'm not afraid to bring it forth, and I'll be very happy with that, and I'll let that stay where I, you know. Where
all right, yeah. Getting back to the other call that brought up the speaking in tongues, I guess to amplify on that, they said that they wanted to know about gibberish and what is this the purpose of churches and pastors today, are referring to speaking in tongues in such a way that it does not make any sense. And I mean, we've all encountered that, particularly among certain, you know, Pentecostal churches and others. And they say, if you don't have the gift of speaking in tongues, then you don't have the Holy Spirit and so on. I think that's something you've dispensed with, pretty much.
I have a friend of mine who has a friend who's a Greek scholar, and he was invited to a church to speak from the pulpit, and he started reading the Gospel of John in Greek. So he's reading the Gospel of John, the first few verses of the Gospel of John in Greek, and people were standing up interpreting what he was saying. It had nothing to do with the Gospel of John chapter 1.
Okay. All right. I hear you. No. Well, I remember, too, you know, I encountered years ago in a religious station when I did an interview program 36-37 years ago, maybe, and the man, his name was Chuck Shippacasey. God Heals Today was one of his books that he wrote, and I had him on, and I felt kind of foolish because he sort of, you know, pushed me into saying that, yes, I should speak in tongues now, and he was egging me on, and I foolishly, you know, consented to doing something that I shouldn't have done, something I was sorry for, but I made up something, and I just said, I'll give you an example. I just said, and he said, you got it! You got the gift of tongues right there, he said to me. I felt like a fool, but I said, you know what? This is what it's all about. It really is about pastors and teachers and theologians building the whole theology on stuff like this, misinterpreting the whole meaning of the scriptures. And like, this is how you get the rapture theory. And this is how you get the theory of the Jews and Judah, and the Jews are part of Israel. And this whole idea that Adam was the first man on the earth. See, they all come from lack of understanding what the Bible actually does say. And that's pretty sad when you think about it. But that's the state of 99 and 94, 100% of the churches. I'll make a little room for a few. But Most of them are teaching that. No wonder Schoenfeld, the Jewish Israeli scholar, could call them those incredible Christians. He used to refer to them as those incredible Christians. They believe in fables, you see.
Yeah. I remember one time an archaeologist, a friend of mine, went out to Asheville in, I think it was Nebraska or out that way. And it was an archaeological site. And the archaeologists that were working the site were from the universities from that area. And
hold that thought, Joe. People. Can you please hold that thought? We got a quick one more break, and then I'll let you finish up, folks. Stay tuned. We'll be wrapping up soon today, folks. Thank you for listening. Rick Adams on Fence.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it. At AROutfitting.com.
Do you worry a lot? If you're forgetful, nervous, moody, or overwhelmed, chances are you're not protecting yourself from the ravaging effects of stress and anxiety. No matter the cause, ongoing stress and elevated levels of the stress hormone cortisol can rob your memory, your health, your quality of life, and your future. Now you can combat the effects of stress and anxiety while improving your memory and recall at the same time with the dietary supplement Calm and Clever. Studies show that the ingredients in Calm and Clever reduce cortisol by as much as 30% in as little as 1 to 2 weeks and increase your ability to recall facts, names, and numbers in 4 to 12 weeks. Calm and Clever was created by scientist Kurt Hendricks, a principal investigator in 2 NIH-funded studies on Alzheimer's disease. Try Calm and Clever for 2 months. You'll feel the difference. Call 1-800-758-8746 or go to calmandclever.com.
And you were just beginning to begin that story, so I'll let you finish up.
Yes, the archaeologists were from the local universities, and most of them were relatively secular. But they were digging a site that was very, very ancient, estimated 30 million years ago. And when the Christian group went up to them and said that they see a lot of understanding there, they were very surprised to hear Christians say, you know, a site 30 million years old. And it was interesting because most Christians will tell you that the earth is only 6,000 years old.
There you go.
So, I mean, this is what you're dealing with sometimes.
Now, they all Jerusalem have PhDs. Sure.
Right. The college students were amazed. They were really, they took them right in and, heard what they had to say.
Sure.
Rick, did you want to touch on Jerusalem Watch?
Well, yeah, I sort of touched on it with the, with the Alaska Mosque and what's going on there at the Temple Mount and the gate. It's evolving as we speak, but one of the interesting points was just to go over the fact that they're having this election coming up with Netanyahu and the far right parties and the so-called left-wing Zionists who are trying to unseat Netanyahu because he's such an embarrassment to that regime. But remember, God puts people in positions of power for his purposes, as we know in Isaiah chapter 3, verses 4. And what is amusing is this headline, AIPAC, the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, slams as racist and reprehensible extremist parties in Israel wooed by Netanyahu. Now, isn't that sort of like Stalin calling Lenin some bad names? Isn't that amusing? Lapid and Gans and all of these others that they're coalescing with. Zionist A and Zionist B is still a Zionist. That's the way I look at it,
Right.
And the only Zionism that's true, as you said, is when Zion, Mount Zion, is the home of truly the home of God and his children in Jerusalem. But that hasn't happened yet.
No. What got me, Rick, was they called it where the gate has been opened and shut and locked.
Yeah.
The Golden Gate of Mercy.
That's what they call it, the Golden Gate.
Immediately it came to mind, the mercy seat.
Yeah.
What is contained in there that gate has to be locked?
Somebody wants that mercy seat, huh?
Yes. It seems like there's a battle in heaven and in earth going on for the mercy seat. Exodus chapter 37:6 for homework assignment. Also, the sixth kingdom, if you will, Daniel, for the deeper student. Exodus 25, 21, and 22, and Ezekiel 28:14-17, the cherub that covereth the mercy seat. The two cherubs covered the mercy seat. And always remember, the mercy seat was over the law.
Exactly.
That precedent over the Ark of the the Ark of the Testimony.
Yep. And we're just about out of time.
Want to know where the Ark of the Covenant is?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's looking for the Ark of the Covenant all over this globe.
Spielberg
is
looking
for it. Now let's keep it a secret.
Okay.
In Revelation 11, verse 19, I'll tell you that much.
We're out of time, Joe. Thank you. Next week, special program on gold theft, folks. Joe, thank you for being with me, and Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless, Rick.
Goodbye, folks. We'll see you next week, God willing.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great, thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.